Welcome to the Fast Forward podcast produced by the Minnesota Council on Foundations. I'm Levi Weinhagen, Communications and Media Specialist at MCF, and this is my conversation with Leah Goldstein-Moses, founder of the Improve Group, and Jennifer Obina, the Research and Evaluation Director at the Improve Group, where they shared some strategies for how folks working in grant making can use evaluation and research tools to enhance and help strategically achieve their goals. So let's get into it. I'm Levi Weinhagen, and I'm talking today with Leah Goldstein-Moses and Jennifer Obina of the Improve Group. Hello, guys. If you could identify yourselves as well, that would be tremendous.
Great. And this is Leah, and I'm the founder and CEO of the Improve Group.
And this is Jennifer, and I'm a research and evaluation director with the Improve Group. I've been here for about 2 years, but have been working in evaluation for about 20 years.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you guys talking to me today. I have a few, I think, fairly broad questions about the relationship between evaluation, assessment, strategic thinking, and grant makers and foundations, and how you guys serve those audiences, and how they should view the work that you guys are able to offer. I think kind of big, basic, what are some key best practices for evaluations when it comes to the work foundations are doing?
Great. So there are a couple of key best practices that I would say are universal to evaluation, no matter who is doing it. And one of the practices that we really try and encourage all of our clients to use is to think carefully about how they're going to use evaluation when designing their evaluation strategy. So if their main purpose is to report to their trustees, for example, they should be thinking about what kind of information and content is going to really resonate with trustees as an audience. If their main purpose is to find opportunities for improvement in their grant-making strategies, they're going to need a different type of information than they would if they're reporting to trustees. So to be very thoughtful about how they're going to use information as they're designing their evaluation strategy. A second best practice I would recommend is to be thinking very, very carefully about the communities in which they're doing evaluation. And for foundations in particular, their communities are really interesting because it includes their trustees, it includes their grantees, it includes anyone that they're partnering with to achieve a certain purpose. Sometimes it includes government because government might be operating in the same type of field or discipline that they are. And then it indirectly includes community members directly, as those community members are interacting with the programs that are funded from the foundation. And so to just recognize that evaluation intersects with all those stakeholders in different ways, and to be respectful and thoughtful about both the opportunities and burdens that evaluation might offer. And then the final emerging best practice I would really encourage foundations to consider is to think through how evaluation aligns with their identity as a foundation itself. And we've been doing work over the last year with Michael Patton, who has an article coming out about theory of philanthropy, that foundations should take a step back from diving into evaluation and first talk about who they are and who their identity is. So for example, one foundation might want to fund only innovative measures. They might be doing pilot grants to really encourage grantees to take risks and do things that are innovative and have the potential to fail. Other foundations might be really most comfortable in investing in proven results. But that's part of the foundation's identity, and those are going to influence how it would ultimately do evaluation. So to take a step back and really articulate your identity through a theory of philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. So similar to those ideas, some foundations are really interested in changing the environment in a particular way. They may be interested in reducing poverty, building community assets, making other kinds of social changes. And if their approach to evaluation is about wanting to know how the community indicators that are changed, are we seeing more jobs, are we seeing a reduction in poverty levels, that sort of thing. But the role of the foundation might be very limited, and they only focus on certain kinds of grant making or certain kinds of activities. We try to help them understand what's realistic. Perhaps a theory of philanthropy or thinking about ways in which the evaluation could be more emerging or tailored to the kinds of things that they fund rather than these community indicators, which are very difficult to change but also take 20 years to change and that sort of thing. So what are some of the either short-term realistic indicators or what maybe we should be thinking about evaluating the grant-making effort and achieving some of those more emerging goals like communities of practice or learning or building assets and organizations that will then change the environment.
I really like that idea of thinking holistically mm-hmm. in your evaluation strategy, that you can't just try to, this is my one tiny goal, I want to find out what's happening with this, because it's not in a vacuum, which seems obvious, but it seems like something that always has to be articulated. I think connected to that is, I was curious how you guys could sort of speak to the idea that sometimes a person or a small group of people within a foundation understand the importance of the work of evaluation and assessment and how it could be applied to their work. But it can be hard to communicate that value to both the communities they serve and colleagues, leadership, board members, because there's time and money associated with that kind of work. So how would you guys sort of help people make the case for that?
Right. So one thing that we often advise our clients in, especially if they have someone internally who's responsible for evaluation and strategy work, is to think through what their early successes with evaluation can be and develop the champions for evaluation that are outside of their sphere of influence. So I have an example that's actually from outside the philanthropy sector, but we worked with an organization that had an internal evaluator that was having trouble getting traction for evaluation within their organization. What they found is that people were coming to them with emergencies. Can you create this data for me tomorrow? But no one was coming to them with questions like, what would our measures be of this particular area of success? Or how can we design measures that would serve us over the long term? And so what we did with them is identify one program that they could start with that would be essentially their pilot of really demonstrating the value of evaluation for the organization. And they did much deeper consulting with that particular internal stakeholder over the course of several months. And then they asked that stakeholder to essentially be their champion at things like leadership meetings or community meetings, where they would say, this is how we used evaluation and this is what we learned from it and this is why it benefited our program. So they began to tell stories of things like they tweaked the delivery mechanism of a particular program because they heard from their community that they needed to be offering it at a different time and in a different location. And they wouldn't have known that without the evaluation. Or they had measures of success that they could communicate to multiple stakeholders that they wouldn't have had if they hadn't invested that time and effort. So much like any kind of change effort, finding your internal champions and finding early successes can really help in evaluation.
In addition to that, I would say that we're big proponents of evaluation capacity development. And so there are situations where when you have an internal evaluator from a grant-making organization, their role could be to make sure that all the stakeholders within the foundation are know what they need to know about evaluation, that we're actually all evaluators. We evaluate things every day, whether it's what television to buy or where to sit in a room or that sort of thing. So we all have the capacity to evaluate things. And self-evaluation, there is a lot of time and place for being able to cultivate the lessons learned from your own work every day and figure out, well, what will I change tomorrow and what will I do the next day? So there are situations where having an outside third-party evaluator is the way to go, but across the board, self-evaluation is something that does promote learning and does promote ways of making course corrections and making our lives better. So we would suggest everybody learn about evaluation.
It's interesting. What I pull out of that point you guys are making is to think about your evaluation strategy do you want it to be preventative care or do you want to be an emergency room? You're going to have both happen.
Sure.
But if you have this sort of, if you take your vitamins or something, there's a lot of things you can do for yourself, but you still may sometimes need a professional, you know, because you need to know, like, is this infected? I think this metaphor got away from me. But
I think it's metaphor, actually.
It's holding, holding for me.
I think in that sort of vein, I'm curious if you have maybe a few ways of thinking about how you decide what you can handle yourself internally as an organization, or if you primarily are in charge of your organization's evaluation strategy, and when you should consider reaching out to somebody like you guys to help you build a specific tool or to build a specific strategy. What are the kind of things you should weigh when making those decisions?
Yeah. Often short-term intensive projects are really difficult to manage with internal capacity just because of the nature of you already have other responsibilities on your plate, you have things that you're responsible for doing in your organization, and if there's something that's a really intense effort, that's a great opportunity to bring in some external support to help with it. Another area that we find our clients really appreciate having external support is in the initial thinking through even what their options are and what their strategy should be for evaluation. And so that might look a lot more like coaching and organizational development around the topic of evaluation than actually doing evaluation for an organization. But I would say that one of the great things we've seen is, as Jennifer mentioned, there is a lot of evaluation capacity kind of inherent in being part of the social sector, that you're constantly thinking about what information is telling you what the temperature is of your community. Your people are very willing to give you feedback about how you're doing and talk about your work. And so often what organizations need help with is just harnessing what they already have for an evaluation purpose, and an external coach or guide can be really helpful in that.
That seems like sort of getting at, you might not realize what you're capable of,
right?
And sometimes you need someone to come and say, hey, you already know how to do this.
Exactly.
It's just a way to sort of capture it almost.
Exactly. And go ahead, Jennifer.
I was just going to say, and sometimes it's just a matter of putting structures in place. Yeah. So people, they may be collecting some information, like a debrief after an event, but they don't write it down, or they don't put it somewhere where it could then be shared about after five events. How, you know, what are some themes that we see emerging? And so if we can just help people think about, well, what are the tools or what are the structures that can help you make sure that you're documenting and then harvesting, that's where we can help people then continue to do their own evaluation moving forward.
Yeah, I get the impression, and some of it's from my own experience as well, that even people who are collecting some of their own information, they don't know what to do then with
it. Absolutely.
They don't know how to write a report or how to apply it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I am curious what you would say for foundation folks, as they think about how to take data, or whether it's quantitative or qualitative, and actually make it impact their work and their decision making. Mm-hmm. Like what does that connection look like?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first step is just to recognize that that requires resources. That requires time and taking a step back and really spending time with your data and understanding it. And sometimes it takes technology. It takes an investment in a system that would allow you to do the analysis and manage your data in a simple way, or to collect data in a way that it's more easily analyzed. And then sometimes it needs dollars too. You might need to bring in someone to help you sift through it the first time, or to coach you through using your data. So the first is to just recognize that that is a resource needed. I think there was a report within the last year or so that talked about what foundations were investing in evaluation versus what they were saying was best practice. I'll try and find the link for you, but it said that many foundations were saying things like, we should be devoting between 2% and 10% of our resources towards evaluation, because really we're in the business of making a difference, and if we're not continually reflecting on that, then we're missing an opportunity to really make an impact in our communities. But that in reality, if foundations were spending anything on evaluation, the average that they were spending was 1%. And I think only a third of foundations were spending anything on evaluation at all.
Mm-hmm. So, and that is a trend that we're noticing is outcome harvesting, and we're influenced a little bit by our international partners who are a little further ahead with this idea. But regardless of whether or not you had this framework set in place about how you think you're going to make a difference, there's a time where you might want to just stop and take stock and say, let's look at all of the archives or all of the data that we have available to us, and let's start to see where is the impact and how can we even collect a little bit more primary information to help us have a sense of, are we seeing some unintended consequences, or are we having an impact that's greater or different than what we initially thought it could be? And so sometimes that it's helpful to have a third-party partner help you on that journey. But this kind of going back to your archives or the secondary data that's already existing and harvesting from them is a trend that we're seeing and definitely in the philanthropy world.
I wonder how frequently when someone makes the case to bring in an outside resource to help them with their work, there's a concern that they're then going to need to show some really concrete results. Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of the philanthropic work is so not concrete. It's so, did you change someone's life? That is really hard to measure. Yeah. So I wonder if you guys can just briefly also speak to how people can keep in mind they want to make this case to bring in somebody to help them build a good strategy for evaluation, but they want to be clear about what are realistic expectations of the outcomes.
That's a great, great question. And I think that is one of the ongoing tensions in evaluation in general, and maybe one of the ongoing tensions in the social sector, is that we really are here because we want to make a difference for people and their communities, for the environment, and measuring those changes is really difficult. So one of the things that an evaluator can help do is think through either, are there, as a foundation, is your role in building those necessary conditions of change? So maybe you are not holding yourself responsible for actually making the change happen, but you're holding yourself responsible for building conditions that would allow that change to happen. Or are there some intermediate results or interpretations of results that you can make really early? So for example, a classic example has been in the recovery community, where often finding the right treatment for someone who is struggling with chemical dependency is difficult, and then the results can be very, very minuscule until that right match is made between person and treatment. And so if you can't realistically hold yourself accountable to a result like 50% recovery or 75% recovery, are there things that you can hold yourself accountable to that are still meaningful? Creating a environment where people felt more compelled to seek recovery, or building some sort of relationships that would allow people to find the right match for them and a program more effectively. So to really be thoughtful about what those things are, what they would look like, and then what you could measure as a result.
Maybe as sort of a wrap up from either or both, Leah or Jennifer, to hear just briefly from you guys what it is about the work you do that makes it exciting for you, that keeps you interested in the work. I think there probably are people who are like, your evaluation, I don't know what is flashy or exciting about that, or what drives you guys to do the work.
So I find it very easy to talk about what excites me about evaluation, and sometimes people laugh at me that I'm a little bit of an evaluation cheerleader, but I feel that doing evaluation is one of really the best jobs in the world. I get to work with people who are excited about making social change, and that is so energizing and motivating, and they're very committed and passionate, which is great. I get to learn constantly, so I feel like I've found a job that allows me to be a lifelong student about what's happening in communities, what are innovative ways of addressing social problems. And I get to do so in a way that allows me to really tap into my nerdy self, which is, you know, crunching numbers and thinking through data and really puzzling through things. And so I feel very, very fortunate to get to work in evaluation.
My background is in social work, and so I started on my journey being a service provider and often not knowing exactly if I was making a difference. Sometimes I would be sort of intuiting from my experiences whether or not this is changing anything. And so one of the reasons I was motivated to learn some social science skills was to be able to have some sort of data or have a way of knowing is my colleagues seeing the same things as what I'm seeing, or are we totally ships passing in the night? And so if it feels like a contribution I can make to my profession or the movement is to demystify what it is to do evaluation and then make it really accessible. Like, we can all be evaluators. We all are evaluators. And so that's really inspiring to me and keeps me wanting to do this every day.
Fantastic. Where can people go to find out more about both the work you guys are doing and also the ways that you approach the work?
We meet with people a lot, so they can always just reach out, and we're happy to talk to anybody. We publish on evaluation. We have a monthly newsletter, and we try and really incorporate articles in that that would be of use to anyone. So someone who's puzzling through how to get a better response rate on a survey or how to think about measuring intangible things, they can find articles on those topics in our monthly newsletter.
And how do they sign up for that?
They would sign up for that on our website at theimprovegroup.com. Yep, thank you.
Well, Jennifer and Leah, thank you guys both for your time.
Thank you so much. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Fast Forward Podcast. For more episodes of the podcast and to see all the other things that the Minnesota Council on Foundations is working on, head to mcf.org.